Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 26th day of June 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vake. She's at Stewart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Here, Daryl Good's take on both the corn and the soybean markets at this point. Listen to the folks at the Andersons about the cash grain market. They're in Delphi, Indiana. They're actually at Logansport at the Climbers facility. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner about World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City about the weather forecast on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago for this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat at $6.67 on its settlement price, down 8 3/4. September there at $6.77, 8 cents lower. The hard red in Kansas City, $6.94 1/4, down a dime. Corn pit up 7 3/4 in the nearby July at $6.64 1/2 on the settlement price. It was the only gainer for the day. September futures a loss, down 2 1/2 cents at $5.74. December corn at $5.44, 1/2 cent lower. The March at $5.54 1/4, down 3/4. May contract of next year, 3/4 lower at $5.61 1/4. And July corn of 2014 at $5.67 1/4, down a penny for the day. Soybeans now, July contract $15.34 1/4, up 9 cents on the afternoon. August at $14.25 1/4, down 4. September at $13.17, a settlement price there, down 6 1/2. And November beans at $12.76, 2 1/2 cents lower. January's $12.79, down 2 3/4. And the March at $12.74 3/4, down 4 cents. Next year's July soybeans, $12.76 3/4, down a nickel. Bean meal futures at $4.63.30, up $4.50. Bean oil at 51 cents lower, $46.63. Live cattle futures for the afternoon. June contract, 121.27 1/2, up 12 1/2 cents. August at a gain of $1 and a nickel at 122.17 1/2. August feeders at 148.92 1/2 per 100 pounds, $1.05 higher. And the February contract, or rather September feeder cattle, at 151.2 1/2, up 95 cents. July lean hogs, $99.95, down 20. And the August futures, a nickel lower. They finished at $97.65 for the August lean hog contract. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures on the afternoon, trading the August at $95.48 a barrel, up 16 cents. RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, $2.73. That's 0.7 cents lower. Ethanol trading at $2.46 6/10, up 0.2 cents. And the difference is now 26 4/10 cents. That's 2 7/10 narrower than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.70 7/10, up 0.6 cents. And the diesel fuel at the New York Carbo, ultra low sulfur diesel at $6.85 4/10. That's 0.4 cents lower. Gold futures trading $1,229.60 an ounce, down $45.30. And the U.S. dollar trading at 82.97. That's 0.39 higher on the afternoon. Don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. He naturally is in Kansas City and will help us take a look at what happened in the weather across the Midwest last night and what we'll see in the near-term future. Here's what the National Weather Service is calling for this afternoon yet in the Urbana-Champaign area. We have a temperature outside our studios, by the way, of just about 80 degrees for the moment. We're going to go to a high of just around 76 for the day, a 60% chance of rainfall. And then this evening, a 40% chance of rainfall, a few thunderstorms again. Those will be mainly before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and a low low of 70. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high of 86 on a west-northwest wind. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy and 67. Friday, mostly sunny and a high of 84 and partly cloudy on Friday night with a 65-degree low. A 40% chance of showers on Saturday during the day, mostly cloudy and 78 degrees. Those showers will continue into Saturday night with a low of 61. Again, more on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online. Our address is willag.org.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
On this June, the 26th, it's a Wednesday afternoon. Time to check in on the futures markets. Joining us by phone is Jackie Vakes from Stewart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County for her head offices. Thanks, Jackie, for taking the time with us today.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Well, let's take a look at the marketplace. What did you find of most interest? And then I know you've been looking forward probably, of course, to Friday, and the report's due out at 11 a.m. Central Time.
Well, I tell you what, Friday is going to be an interesting day. As far as today's market goes, I think that it was very reflective of the spread unwinding we've seen over the last number of days. We've seen a lot of drop in open interest, mostly long liquidation in corn and wheat. Wheat is being pressured a little bit because of we're making harvest progress, and some of the yields in the areas that they're in are actually coming in better. I think we won't get a real true picture of damage, perhaps, until we get up into the Kansas area. But a lot of position squaring going on and a reflection when you look in the July contracts, basically, tight stocks. There's no question about that between corn and beans. On Friday, you mentioned the reports. Well, we have the acreage report. We have the quarterly grain stocks report. We have the hog and pig report. We have first notice day, which is another thing that is going on in terms of some changes on the futures. And we also have the end of the month and the end of the quarter. So you couldn't pile much more on one day if you really wanted to.
You couldn't pile much more on one day, and that's in the future. But in this last 24 hours, boy, have we piled lots of things on. The weather has been really pretty rough. Last night in my home, a little hail, a lot of rainfall. I think we're up over... I didn't empty my gauge over the weekend, and I think there was about 2.5 there to begin with, and it was overflowing this morning. It's a 7-inch gauge, so I'm guessing maybe close to 8 by the time we got done. I don't know. It was really, there was a lot of rainfall in the area, but other places, Jackie, simply didn't get it, so it's kind of hit and miss.
Well, it certainly was. Iowa, of course, got hit hard again. Parts of Independence, Iowa, they still get 6 inches of rain. Today is the first day in talking with producers out there that I actually have guys that are now saying, I'm taking preventive plant on beans. There's just absolutely no way we're going to get back in. And parts of Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan got at least 2 inches of rain last night. In fact, I talked to one of the guys from Indiana today, and he was saying this is one of the first good rains they've had in a little while. So I guess it depends upon your perspective, but it seems as if that jet stream river of air is out of its bank someplace. A few weeks ago, I talked with Ed Kieser and asked him about the weather, and he said, the problem that they've got is the circumstances we have right now are we have these fronts splitting into more than one front. And he said once that starts to happen, the computers just can't handle that. And so, then they're as lost as anybody else is. I don't know what's going to happen. We've been up in Wisconsin for a bit, and we've also been getting some very, very heavy rains up here. So it's not nice anywhere you go.
Well, let's come back to some different fundamentals in the marketplace. Of course, we talked a little bit about the grain stocks and the acreage reports. They're due out on Friday. Landworth has released its numbers. Did you take a look at those?
Oh, I certainly did. Landworth came out at 95.7 million acres for corn. The average guess is 95.3. You always have to remember that Landworth puts out a number that they expect to be the final acreage number, not a number necessarily that's a reflection to this report. And so I went and I looked back what the largest deviation the USDA had from the final acreage number on the June report, and that comes in at 1.345 million acres. And with a, you know, tied with a report like we have this year, or circumstances like this year, where this June acreage report is really much more of a extended intentions report, I think that this could be one of those crazy years. And in the last 20 years, the June report has been below the final acreage number, and 4 out of 20, and above 16 out of 20. And so it's going to be very interesting to see how all of this shakes out as we move further. When you look at land worth on beans, they came in at 78. Average guess for the for us is 77.9. And here was a real kicker, and I did not realize this myself. The largest deviation USDA has had off of the final acre number for beans was 1.49 million acres. And in the last 20 years, they were below this. They were below the final number by seven out of 20 years, and they were over 13 out of 20 years. So, you know, it's there's just an awful lot of component forward into Friday morning that nobody's going to have an answer to until we actually have the report in front of us.
And then we have the grain stocks numbers to look forward to and to think about just how much we have left to ship out, if any, for exports, for soybeans, maybe even for corn. That, although, would be really doubtful at this point.
Well, I would say it's going to be pretty limited on everything. I mean, we're 83% through the season at this point in time, and you know, we've had really outstanding bean exports. It's just corn has been a dog. I looked at the grain stocks report and what the reaction was in the last 3 years, you know, to try and get more of a handle on where we've been at. And in the last 3 years, we've seen the market go up on an average of 25 cents two out of those 3 years on corn, and down 1 year at 69 cents, and that was because we were already in the first notice period when we first noticed it, and that's the way it was. But on beans, with the ending stocks expected to be at 442, that still shows even corn at 2.8, very, very tight old stocks. Beans in the last 3 years, up 2 years, just like corn, average of 24 cents, down 1 year for 28 cents. So there, too, you know, it's kind of a split decision. Even when you look back on the acreage report, on this particular June report and on this particular day, it appears that there's not much deviation. Even if you look over the last 7 years on the acreage report, between what goes on in response to the grain stocks and in response to the acreage, they either go up together or they go down together. They don't seem to split and go different directions. So it'll be interesting to see in the situation we're in this year if that maybe changes.
And one final note before I let you go. The Army Corps of Engineers just has to be busy every year, it seems, and it again is this year, just for different reason.
Yeah, if that isn't the truth, you know, this morning they halted barge traffic on the Mississippi due to the water levels. It's in part of the Iowa and Missouri area, and I think it's just a reflection of how much heavy rain has fallen. But this is the second time we've seen them have to do that, and of course that always raises heck with basis levels and everything else. So just kind of a difficult year again based on weather.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Hey, you too. That's Jackie Vague. She's with Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County in Wisconsin at this point, but she'll be back pretty shortly. Thanks to her and for all the folks that work with us here at WILO. You can always hear her again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. It's a Wednesday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works has scheduled the first congressional hearing tomorrow to investigate the tragic explosion at West Fertilizer Company in West Texas. The Texas explosion killed 14 people and injured more than 200 others. Texas investigators determined that of the 150 tons of ammonium nitrate stored at the small facility, approximately 28 to 34 tons ignited in a populated area. The explosion in West Texas has raised questions about the safety of fertilizer storage across the country. In addition, the committee is expected to look into an explosion at a Louisiana chemical plant last week that killed two people and injured nearly 100. The U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission is expected to recommend a civil lawsuit against former MF Global Holdings Limited Chief Executive John S. Corzine for his role in overseeing the now bankrupt securities brokerage. A civil suit would be another chapter in a long ordeal for former MF Global customers and Corzine. Criminal and civil investigations have swirled around the firm and its former officials after an estimated $1.6 billion in money was improperly moved from customer accounts in the days before the firm's October 31, 2011 bankruptcy. A civil case against Corzine is likely to focus on his supervision of the firm, not details of money movement in the final days before the firm's bankruptcy filing. Monsanto says its fiscal third quarter net income slipped 3% as hits to the agricultural product company's cotton and soybean seed segments restricted revenue growth. The St. Louis company says it earned $909 million, or $1.68 per share, in the quarter ending May 31st. That's down from $937 million, or $1.74 per share last year. Revenue inched up less than 1% to $4.25 billion. Surveyed analysts today say that the government is expected to show only a slight increase in the size of the U.S. swine herd overall as of June 1st compared with a year ago. The average of the eight analysts' estimates for all hogs and pigs as of June 1st was 67.059 million head. That's up 0.6% from a year ago. USDA is scheduled to release its quarterly hogs and pigs inventory report on Friday afternoon. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is your Director of Agricultural Programming.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Up next, Daryl Good's thoughts on old crop soybeans as he voiced in Monday's Weekly Outlook. You can find it and an article Good posted today on the FarmDoc Daily website. Today's article is a bit of a dire warning titled, "Is the U.S. Corn Boom Ending?" I'll read you the last passage of the missive. In it, Daryl Good writes, in part, "The recent period of growth in the U.S. corn industry appears to have peaked. The domestic ethanol market has hit the E10 blend wall and will be dependent on consumption of higher blends in order to expand total domestic consumption and to increase corn consumption. The domestic livestock industry is also mature and may require larger exports for production growth. And finally, the corn export market has become a lot more competitive in the past several years as high corn prices have stimulated an increase in world production. If the size of the U.S. corn market is peaked, says Good, a period of lower prices and reduced acreage may be required. Lower prices would be beneficial for the livestock industry, at least initially, he thinks. Lower crop farm incomes might result in some downward pressure on farmland prices, particularly if interest rates continue to increase. And making plans, he says, for such an adjustment seems prudent, while at the same time hoping for a surprise development on the demand side." You can read more from Daryl's post today on the FarmDoc Daily website. There you'll also find an article pinned Monday asking whether or not old crop soybeans had finally been rationed. In it, he says, smaller U.S. soybean production in both 2011 and 2012 have caused the market to raise the price of the oilseed in hopes of slowing consumption. Each month since February, USDA has projected about 4% of the crop will be left by the time this fall arrives. 4% is what most people consider pipeline level. or in other words, just barely enough to get by.
The task of the market this year has been to monitor the rate of soybean consumption to determine if the pace has slowed sufficiently to maintain minimum pipeline stocks. With only about 10 weeks left in the marketing year, the uncertainty about the rationing process persists.
One of the primary indicators of how well the market has done its job of rationing is the pace or expected pace of exports. Good says just 4.4 million bushels of beans per week need to be exported from now until the end of the marketing year to meet USDA's May projection.
As of June 13th, the USDA reported unshipped export sales of 59 million bushels, so it appears that exports for the year will be very close to the current USDA projection.
The domestic use of soybeans has grown as the year has passed, but Good thinks that quickening pace has been slackening off, but not fast enough.
It now appears that soybean and soybean product prices will have to remain strong through the final quarter of the year in order to limit consumption to the available supply.
USDA will release its supply and demand tables for soybeans and corn this Friday at 11 a.m.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Well, on this Wednesday afternoon, let's check the cash grain market. The folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana, on the phone line. Patrick Kaufman is with us. Good afternoon to you, Patrick.
Good afternoon, Todd.
So we having trouble finding soybeans in the area?
Yeah. The producer held soybeans are all but gone, and even the commercial. And I think we saw that locally here in the central Indiana with Cargill shutting down a few months ago. ADM Frankfurt and Claypool are still running, and they are having difficulty sourcing corn from their usual suspects. So corn still feels relatively fluid, and beans feel very tight.
Does that mean that corn is fluid and in the hands of producers, or fluid and in the hands of...
And moving, but is it not
from the hands of producers, I suspect, or maybe it is.
It is, honestly, Todd. You know, and maybe it's that last 5 to 10, 15% of their inventories and their crop, you know, with this heat and the moisture, they feel a little bit better. You know, we hear concerns about wet holes but when you ask producers individually, when they analyze their own specific crop, we hear about Iowa acres and Minnesota acres, but when they analyze their own crop, they're a little bearish.
Meaning they think they have a crop in the field, or at least a really good shot at a crop in the field at the moment.
Yes, and you know, the weather last half of July will determine a lot of different things.
And is that for both corn or soybeans, or are they still reluctant on the beans?
A little bit reluctant. You know, I think beans, you know, both corn and beans don't like wet feet. We've had excess moisture. The heat has really helped the corn. And really need some dry, you know, be careful what you wish for, I guess. But beans would rather have a drier growing season, and then fill a strong fill in that August time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not an agronomist, Todd. I'm just a grain buyer. So, but that's what you know. The latter weather, I think we have a great start. The latter weather will determine a lot of different things.
All right, you're a buyer. Very quickly, your numbers, please.
Delphi, we're at 705 tonight for cash corn. Climbers, we're at 684. And Delphi beans, we are at 1515.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm.
It's National Chocolate Pudding Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1797, Charles Newbold patented the first cast iron plow. The share, landslide, and moldboard were cast in one piece and then wooden handles and beam added. Farmers rejected the invention, however, fearing the iron might poison the soil. In 1827, Samuel Crompton died. He was the inventor of the spinning mule to manufacture continuous, strong, fine yarn. In 1834, Sir Gilbert Blane died, a Scottish physician. He required that Scottish sailors include lemon juice in their diets, virtually eliminating scurvy due to sickness. In 1848, the first pure food laws were enacted in the U.S. And in 1910, Roy J. Plunkett was born. He was the inventor of Teflon in 1938. The discovery was accidental. Originally, the polymer was used as a corrosion-resistant coating to protect metal equipment used in production of radioactive material during World War II. By the way, the first non-stick cookware using Teflon was sold in 1960. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner on the phone line from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Drew, the skies opened here last night. They poured, and then they decided to pour some more and give us some thunder and lightning. It was a great show, but man, did it rain a lot.
Yes, it did, and it looks like the rains were highly varied across the region. I mean, probably some of our listeners are probably scratching their head and saying, what rain? Because it was somewhat varied. Some of the interior northern parts of Illinois only got a few hundredths of an inch, whereas areas just to the northwest of Chicago saw totals over 6 inches. We saw over 6 inches also occurring in part of east-central Iowa. Down across the east central and southeastern parts of Illinois, we saw some 1 to 2.5 inch amounts, some locally greater amounts in a few counties. Anyway, a lot of variation out there, and that's going to make it a little bit difficult to assess our overall crop conditions as we move forward in time. But we are expecting more rain to occur in quite a few areas, and everybody will get it eventually. So all we have to do is sit tight, and if you're in a pocket that hasn't had much rain recently, just wait. You will get precipitation between now and this time next week. There will be rain in all of the Midwest. And we'll also be looking at a cooling trend, and that'll probably be the next concern in the marketplace because we will be losing some degree day accumulations as we go through this next full week. Temperatures will come down over the weekend and stay down through a fair amount of next week. Highs will be in the 70s and lower 80s across a big part of the Midwest during that period of time, so our degree day accumulations will slip back below average again. And that's going to raise some more concern because we were so late getting some of this crop in the ground. But for right now, we don't have a good handle on what's going to happen this autumn, but we are pretty confident we're not going to have a late frost freeze season. It's most likely going to be a normal year at this point, but we'll know more about that in the next couple of weeks.
So we'll be wet, a little bit cool here in the Midwest. That should slow down soft red winter wheat harvest, I would think. How about the folks out west? Will they be able to move the harvesters across the fields?
Yes, I do think the hard red winter wheat country will do a much better job in seeing a restricted amount of rain. Not completely dry there either. It will rain in most of those locations too, but the temperature bias will be warmer there. We'll likely see a little more erratic distribution of the rainfall out that way. So even though there'll be some delays to hard red harvesting, we probably won't see it have the same impact that it will in the soft wheat areas of the lower Midwest. The rain that does occur across the lower parts of the Midwest will be frequent enough that we'll be still concerned about wet weather disease as well as just general decline in quality of the crop as we wait for a window of opportunity to harvest.
And finally, pick one of the growing places out across the planet you're most concerned about and tell us, please.
Well, we're still watching Western Australia, which is really quite dry. They planted the wheat, barley, and canola crop fairly quickly this year, but there has been very little rain since that occurrence, and the crop is really having a hard time getting up and establishing itself, and significant rain is definitely needed. There will be at least another full week before there's any opportunity for rain there. A lot of other places in the world are doing relatively good. It's a little dry in South Africa's wheat country, also in Argentina, so we'll keep an eye on those wheat areas for a little while.
Drew, thank you so much.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.